I want to just whip through a report from Asia. Thank you, thank you, thank you for those that prayed and fasted. Some of you fasted for me, and I so appreciate that. It was a great trip. Had one bout with sickness, one night of stomach stuff, but prayers and Imodium and everything straightened out all right. So it was a very, very blessed trip, quick, Tuesday to Tuesday. Went over there, and it was an important trip for us because we've got partners in just about every, at least section of the earth. You know, we're in Africa, and we've got some great partners there. We've got some in the Middle East, India, wonderful people there, starting disciple-making movements. It's wonderful. But in China, South Korea, that area, we didn't have any real vital partners. So it was an important thing for not just me to go, but for our team and Disciple Nations. The guys were real excited that we got to go and meet some people in that area. So flew into South Korea there and spent some time there, jumped over the line at North Korea, I'll get there, and then went up into China and spent the rest of the time all within about 5-6 days. And so it was an awesome, awesome time. But in a nutshell, basically what happened was the guy who leads China Harvest, there's a ministry called China Harvest that has an office in Wichita. We met literally only just 2 months ago, Steve Miller. He's partnered with a guy, Gary, who lives out in Virginia. And they've been to China, Gary, 130 times. And Steve has been there 40-something times. And their heart is all China and all North Korea. We met them, and the Spirit just really linked our hearts. And they extended an invitation. It was kind of short notice for us to come to what is called a consultation. It wasn't a conference. It was the gathering of multiple ministries. About 150 of us were there, half Asian, half Western. There were 8 nations there. It was translated into 4 languages. Not everybody knew English. And so it was an interesting thing in this consultation where we came, I think, 20, 30 ministries, and we were strategizing specifically how to reach North Korea. As we've told you before, all of their indications are is that North Korea is about to implode. It's about to come down. And the church was not as ready as she could have been when Germany, when the wall came down and things were happening and other major moments in history. The Holy Spirit always ends up doing wonderful things. But there was a feeling that we could be more ready for when this major global event happens. That little guy's over there barking and barking that he's going to nuke people and do stuff. But really, the whole government's falling apart. The generals are in control. The army's starving. The people are starving. The despair is unbelievable. Whole families are committed suicide, even children, just from the despair of darkness and starvation that are happening. So we gathered together and for 2 days did what was called a consultation where we broke into 12 sectors. Some of those sectors were mercy ministries, food ministries, education, community development, prayer, and church planning. I was on the church planning team and discipleship. And we met, and for 2 days, we would have a little speaker say a couple things, not much, not a big speech, and then we would meet in our groups and pray, and we would strategize about how to reach the nation of North Korea with physical, visible plans, accomplishable plans that we could do together. And so it was an awesome thing. I jumped out and skipped out of my church planning when I went to the prayer one some, because I just love prayer, and we feel as called to that. So it was an awesome thing. Met missional leaders that are just off the chart kind of people, giving their lives away. Some of them had just been into Iraq with bodyguards, into Turkey. They're working in Mauritania where our guys are trying to build a hospital and doing some stuff. There's just, these guys are working all around the world. Foundations were there that give $20 million to near $1 billion away to Christian foundations as God is giving people a heart to give. I mean, we've been praying this for years, and now there's foundations and groups that are just giving millions of dollars into mission. So they were there dealing with the church planting people, dealing with the mercy people. Lyle was with me, my partner from West Virginia, about how we could get food. He was in the mercy ministry food section or sector. And we just had a wonderful time of digging in deep, listening to the Holy Spirit, and praying together about how we might reach these places. So, flew into South Korea. It was an awesome thing. Saw the little islands. Came into Incheon, where MacArthur, you know, where he pushed things back. I think, Dina, I've got some pictures where we flew in. Amy thought we had landed in the ocean there. But we came in, landed in Incheon, took a 45-minute drive to Seoul, and that's where we spent most of our time in Seoul. We were at a conference center, this big brick building in what looked like Eden. It was an amazing deal to pray and to seek the Lord, and we just spent time together there. On the walls were some pictures of North Koreans and the suffering that's going on. There was a collage of pictures that were on the wall that they kept before us. And these were just broken North Koreans that were scarred up in the various hungry and various brokenness that have been giving their lives for the gospel and living under the tyranny of this bad government that's going on there. So we had an awesome time. I'm still processing these partnerships. I met one guy named Timothy Park, who's a South Korean guy, who's going to fly out here in July. This guy is, well, helped plant 30,000 house churches in India and is working. There's millions that they've seen come to Jesus in India. And the cool thing about that is he's taking broken North Korean defectors and taking them over 20 at a time and training them in India how to make disciples. They'll go over there and preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out demons. They'll train people in the Word of God, teach them, and they just do all the kingdom things that Jesus was doing in unreached areas in India. And so this guy and I really, we were in the church planning sector, kind of helped lead the thing a little bit, and we were just heart connected. And so I'm so excited about some of the partnerships that are developing in that part of the world. We found some amazing people ministering into North Korea and into China. These people are our heroes. They're frontline people. We're backline, but we're going to do everything we can to rally prayer, money, Bibles, discipleship materials. We're going to start getting some of our stuff translated into Korean and into Chinese. We've got some folks we think can help us with that, just to give them materials as these people do amazing jobs. So spent 2 days there. After my stomach night, I woke up the next morning, praise the Lord, thank you for your prayers, you that knew that. I woke up strong, was in South Korea that morning. Then we drove up to North Korea and went up to what is the DMZ, it's the demilitarized zone, where the South Korean army is right on the line with our army and standing there, you know, and we're at war with North Korea, really in a state of war. Spent some time there, went down into a tunnel. I'm standing in front of a picture. We went into a tunnel. The North Koreans have dug multiple tunnels, about 1,000 meters long, where they could invade and come through them. Well, the South Koreans are finding them, and they will brick wall them off and then have turned them into tourist places where we could go down about 230 feet into the ground, and then we walked back in this tight area and looked at what they had dug and the signs that were on the wall as they had planned to attack there. After that, then we went over to this area. I saw this picture literally on CNN 2 days ago. CNN had this picture without Lyle's head right there. These two blue buildings, and that's a North Korean headquarters. We were standing right there. There's a soldier with a gun right there, North Korean, staring us down, South Korean people there. And off to the left, about 30 yards, and off to the right are two big towers. And they told us, don't make any motions, don't take any pictures, don't do anything weird over to the right and left because they're watching us with guns. And they are monitoring everything we're doing. So we kept real still, and I kept Lyle right in front of me. I just felt like he was a good body shield, and he agreed to do that. So we stood there, did that, and then we went into this blue building, and in that building, this building sets on the line. Down the middle of this table, into where that soldier is, who never moved, never looked at us, it was awesome, he's standing right on the line. And so on that side is South Korea. On this side is North Korea. We got our information about that. There were soldiers in the room, and one of our guys asked if we could pray. And there were about 20, 25 of us, and so we have a picture here. That's a bad picture, sorry, but there's a bunch of us praying. We prayed the Lord's Prayer. We sang a song of Him, and we claimed North Korea for the sake of Jesus. It was just an awesome experience in there, and the military let us do that thing. And so we had a blessed, blessed time. Then we left out of there and that night caught a plane to China and flew up to Shenyang, China. In China, I met some Chinese people that have Chinese names, and there's no way I can remember or pronounce them. But we had a wonderful time with some of these underground or what they call family church people. The guy on the right We spent 3 hours talking while we were doing hot pot. I don't know if you've ever been to China, but big boiling water. Everybody's throwing their food in. We're out with chopsticks pulling it out of there. It was a crazy deal for a little Illinois spoiled kid. So we ate there, and he and I talked and talked. He's a doctor who is not practicing medicine because he's given himself to mission in the Chinese church there. He has been to Aswan, Tim. He's been down to Egypt. He knew a bunch of the guys out of Tulsa and in his image and was just naming names of people as he's been to Egypt and done some mission around the world. But he's spending most of his time in China. He gave me an update. We hear the highlights that are wonderful of the Chinese church. There's the registered three-self church there that registers with the government and says what they're doing. They can preach the gospel. But then there's the large underground church. That's what he's part of. That church, the restrictions are coming off of it a bit. Where they used to behead you, now they just slap you in the face or throw you in prison for a while. So things are releasing. You can now meet with 15 people or under in a house and not be arrested. You can meet on a Sunday morning with 200 or under and not be arrested. These newfound freedoms are opening up what I would call tragic Western things to happen among the church in China from his perspective. He said to me, there's been some great things happen, but because of the freedom and the money's beginning to flow and they're prospering, there is a focus on two things. Number one, they're fighting over theology in the house church movement. They're fighting over Calvinism, which has slipped in there, and Arminianism has come in, and they're fighting. I go, where are you getting this? He goes, well, we're getting it from America because y'all are talking about it. It's coming in. They're getting the books. Now they're fighting over these theologies up in their head and sustaining in their heart in mission because some of these movements are multi-millions that these leaders are over. Theology is important, but what he said was not good and healthy. Secondly, they're focusing on buildings. They're raising money to build buildings because they can build them in the deal. And again, I had to say, like I've said to guys from Africa and the Middle East, sorry about that. You're welcome for the gospel. Really sorry for these values of up-in-the-head theology and for the issue of buildings. And so he said, we need revival, and what we're lacking is discipleship. As he and I sat there and talked, I described discipleship and what we're trying to do and what our hearts are. He was like, oh, we're lacking that. We're in dire need of training in fathers and mothers in the faith rising up because there are a generation now almost past, at least, if not the third generation, of those that were gutting it out and missioning underground. This guy knows guys that have been arrested. He's seen guys that have been persecuted. He said the division between the house church movements just in Shenyang, which is a place of 8 million, it's just tragic. The fighting and the infighting, and again, over theology and members and sheep and buildings. I'm like, well, it's the same thing all over the planet when flesh gets a hold of, you know, the stuff in the kingdom. So we had a wonderful time with them, very encouraged, very burdened, and I think this guy's going to be a key partner for us as we work in the nation there. We then got on a bullet train, which went 200 miles an hour, and supposedly is magnetized and wasn't on the track, they tell me. I don't know what that means. But we went down, like in 20 minutes, we went 54 miles down, and we saw, well, there's Walmart, Chinese Walmart. But we went down and saw a guy. There's some pictures of a handicapped child. We went down and saw a guy who works with Johnny and Friends Ministries. And this doctor, we walked in and saw this little Chinese boy being worked on in a place. The handicapped over there are disregarded. Their social network does not have stuff for them. I mean, they literally are not treated well. And so this ministry is raised up to care for the handicapped, to care for the children and to minister to them in their souls and in their bodies. The picture I have of me and the guy in the wheelchair is the Chinese brother who was a leading orthopedic surgeon in China and a little bit outside of China, had some renown in his low 30s. He went to Yemen because they required some doctors to go to Yemen. He was hot one day and went with the Yemenis up into the mountains, unbeliever, never heard of Jesus. He goes up and has the exact Johnny experience. He dives off a hill into a pool of water, hits his head on a rock. And because he's an orthopedic surgeon, he felt it pop. He felt it break, and he knew immediately that he broke his neck and he was paralyzed. The people out in the water didn't know it until they saw blood coming up, and then they came and got him out. He had an infection. He's laid out. He's telling them what's happened to him. China won't let you back in if you've got a high fever. His fever finally comes down, and he doesn't die, so they ship him back to China. In a hospital in Beijing, he's laying paralyzed, hopeless, and said, I wanted to kill myself, but I didn't have the moving arms to do it. So he's laying there trying to figure out what he's going to do with his life. His wife is in the process of leaving him because this has happened to him. And a Japanese woman doctor tries to encourage him and says, there's other things you can do. You can paint, you can speak, you can write. There are other things you can do with your life except be a surgeon. And by the way, here's a book from someone who figured that out. And it was Johnny's book. And so he lays, the book's laid aside. He doesn't show much interest in it until another Chinese doctor comes in, who he thinks to this day was probably a believer, and tells him, trust the book. Trust the book that was given to you. So he reads the book with some help. They lay that out. He reads it, and he said he'd never heard of Jesus before. He didn't understand it, but he was amazed at this woman who had the same accident, and her life turned around, and she was a writer. He was so stunned by this, he gave himself to, in the Beijing hospital, 4 to 5 hours a night. He would read sentence by sentence to his wife, to his mom, who would come in and write down the book in Chinese. And they interpreted the whole book in Chinese. It's the book that's over there now and has been sent all over the nation. During reading the book, he said something strange was happening. I started to feel, when I'd read the book, I felt something warm. There was something warm down in my chest and in my heart, but I didn't understand it. And he didn't understand it fully until he got out of the hospital and met with a pastor from Hong Kong who gave him the gospel and led him and his mom to Jesus and baptized them in Hong Kong. He then makes the choice to come back into China, paralyzed, wife's left him, he's got a daughter, and he starts a ministry, a registered ministry for handicapped people within China. They're leading them to Jesus. They're helping them start house churches as they take care of the broken and the poor. It was an amazing, amazing moment. This guy is running all his money now through Lyle and through, I'm on the board with Heaven Sent Ministry. All the money's coming through there. And we just love this guy. We were weeping while we were hearing his story. Before we left, he said, you got to go to this poor apartment complex next to us. I mean, just real poor poverty. And we met a guy who's got rheumatoid arthritis. His legs, his knees pointed that way and that way. And we went inside, and I've got a picture of him. There's where he lived. There's the hole we went in to get to him. And we went in through there, and there's the guy. This guy had rheumatoid arthritis. Family's left him. Nobody's helping him. They go in, lead him to Jesus, and now he's got a house church, secret house church, family church, in his home where he's leading 13 other believers who pray and do kingdom stuff and are praying for people to come to Jesus. So that was an awesome thing. The Spirit of God was all over him. It was a real, real blessed time. So then we get back up to China, or back up to Shenyang, and I come home, okay? And came back because Grace was going to graduate and those various things. But Lyle did not come home. Lyle went over into the northeast corner above North Korea. Can we put the map back up, Dina, of North Korea? Lyle went up near where Russia and China and North Korea converge. Hardly any missionaries or humans on planet Earth have been in this area. The guy who was showing us around from Virginia, who's been 130 times, had never been into that area because it's so secretive, because this is where most of the defectors from North Korea are getting out. And there's secret little pockets of ministry stations in the mountains in that area. Lyle went over and spent 2 days touring this area, and he had a hard time describing it to me, what he saw. Emaciated North Koreans who had been in prison, North Koreans that had been beaten, you know, all the stuff. And he's seeing them in their, in the China side as they're ministering to them. He met a couple people, particularly, I've got only picture of hands because of security reasons. He asked if he could take a picture. We've got a picture of, I think that's the woman. Let me see the other hand pictures. Yeah, there's a picture of a pastor, a North Korean pastor, who goes in and out of North Korea and completely risks his life all the time. Lyle was right face to face with this guy who's going to be a partner of ours. It's a secret ministry he's doing. He's been in and out. He's been caught. He's been tortured. he keeps doing it over and over. He's in his 50s or 60s, and he's getting people out. They're getting them fed. They're training them, and Lyle got to go to one of the little training places that's hid away in the mountains, and he walked into a place where 40 people could be trained in the gospel, and they're training 40 at a time, and at the front of the room was a blackboard, and on the blackboard was the motto of the training center. Here it is. The motto is, though the road is long and it is hard, we will not stop until we are martyred. Period. That is not a vision statement I have seen out of many American churches. Though the road is hard and it is long, we will not stop until we are martyred. They put that in the new believer disciples that they're training in the gospel. Because of that, there's a resolve around these people. Almost everyone that's trained in that training center, where we're going to send money and train pastors and materials, everyone knows, I mean, high 90%, that they're going to spend 3 to 6 months in prison. When they go back over, they're going to get caught. It's going to come out, someone's turned them in, and they're going to spend some time where, again, they're beaten and they're starved and da-da-da-da. And if they come out alive, then they're going to go, and they're going to witness, and they're going to empower people, and then they're going to get some more people out and do the same thing over and over and over again. Lyle's hero, lastly, was a woman. We have her hands. Sorry, I don't have her picture. Security issues big time. This is a 40-some-odd woman who received the gospel in North Korea. She's living in dire situation, but she spends her life getting people out. She got out a first time, got some people out, got on ministry, went back in. They caught her. You always know you're going to get caught. She spent 8 years in a North Korean prison, this woman. 8 years. She had just got out again for the second time. This is not very far. It's months away that this happened to her. He said she was broken and broken down, I mean big time. But her faith was just burning. And she said, I can't go back in now, but I'm going to get refreshed. I'm going to get restored. And I'm going back in again to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to people. Lyle said, I had nowhere to process what I was hearing. When I've been in Western Christianity, I'm not trying to be derogatory of American Christianity, but my. He's looking at something you just don't see. A resolve that has given up its life for the sake of the gospel. And he looked into her eyes, encouraged her, and he begged her, I can't take a picture of you. Can I take a picture of your hands to show people in this area? And so he stood with great ones who will reign with Jesus in the millennial reign, according to Revelation 20. People that are being martyred and beat and beheaded and all that happens, that is the people that he was hanging out with and he got to see. And now we have their names and we've got networks and pipelines so that we can be with them. Listen, the kingdom of God is going to take over North Korea, even pre the government falling. It is not a matter of if, it's when, that the gospel will do its hemorrhaging work that it's done all over the world, and people will be liberated. But from here to then is going to be a bloody affair, especially when it comes down. But praise God, he prophetically is getting multiple ministries ready to rush in with the gospel so we could see millions of disciples made as Jesus is made preeminent in North Korea. I want to thank you for praying for me. I want to thank you for your partnership in that. Listen, when we go do this, I know you weren't there and you didn't see it, and I'm going to do my best to let you window into it, but I believe with all of my heart and new life for those who are here, those who are going to watch, and those who are going to listen, our responsibility is not just El Dorado, it's not just Butler County, it's not just Wichita. We are responsible for the ends of the earth. In prayer, in money, in resource, in going, we're to be a global family that's concerned about mission. And we want to find partners that are on the front line that are giving their lives for the right stuff. And we just found some treasures. We just found some treasures. So if you would with me, and I'm hoping your heart can get engaged about this, let's pray for just a moment for North Korea and for China. I want to say this. I was most uncomfortable in China. North Korean soldiers wasn't as bothersome. We had an army around us. But China, policemen at the hotel, running off our passports, faxing them to the stations, hearing stories of them, just the police with no, you know what I mean, due process can grab you and throw you in a labor prison. That's still happening. We met the guy who's a friend of the guy who's writing the quintessential work on the underground church, that guy was caught and put in a labor camp for 2 years. And he's out now, bruised and broken, but still ministering all over China. So we're so pleased by that. So anyway, let's pray. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name that you love the nations and you love all the people of the nations. And so, Lord, I'm asking now from this little place in Kansas that your kingdom would come and your will would be done in North Korea as it is in heaven. Thank you for the couple hundred thousand believers that are in North Korea now. The 2,000 to 3,000 house churches, the 200 to 300 pastors. We pray, fill them with the Holy Spirit. We ask for resource. We ask for endurance. And that, Lord, they could preach the gospel with power. We reiterate the prayer in Acts 4. After the apostles have been beaten, Lord, consider the threats of the North Korean government. And would you fill your servants with boldness to preach the gospel and stretch forth your mighty hand to perform miraculous signs and wonders in the name of your mighty Son, Jesus. We pray that you break through and you break in. We pray for China. Thank you for breakthrough. Let it not be polluted. We pray for purity in the church in China and for the multi-millions, close to billion, that still need the gospel. Lord, we pray for all missionaries and all works there. And help us from this little place do our little part in your global plan. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.